very much in terms of how it's the building department, but I think that we'll have a better ring to it than capital facility side, and so I'm just throwing that out for a discussion for you.
Speaker Phillips raised that point along with us too. Ironic that those of us who traveled around are the ones who still retain or remain around the table, huh?
Happy we are.
We seem to lose people in the community. All right, should we keep moving on, Danny or John? Next piece of legislation was the required maintenance
program, which is in your package. It's entitled "An Act Relating to Preventive Maintenance Programs Required for Certain State Grants." Work draft LS1217/E. The task force has talked about requiring a maintenance program. I've spoken with Roger Patch, who did make the presentation. If you turn to page 2, beginning at line 5 through line 19, this would require, in order to get grants, that the entity, and it's repeated in section 2 and section 3, so it covers state departments as well. Evidence acceptable to the department, that's relative to schools, that the district A has a preventive maintenance plan that includes a computerized maintenance management program, addresses energy management for all buildings owned or operated by the district, includes a regular custodial care program for all buildings owned or operated by the district, includes preventive maintenance training for facility managers and employees with maintenance duties, includes renewal and replacement schedules for all electrical, mechanical, structural, and other components of all facilities owned or operated by the district, and is adequately adhering to the preventive maintenance plan. So it requires not only that they have a plan in place, but that they adhere to it. The computerized maintenance management program is a term of art in the management world, which is what has helped university, the court system, and military and veterans affairs track and deal with their maintenance issues. The energy issue was one that Mr. Patch brought to the table, suggesting that there were significant savings to be gained. Regular custodial care, I think, speaks for itself. Mr. Patch suggested strongly that we include the language relative to training of not only facility managers, but those that are employed with maintenance duties, because without the training, they don't adequately input information into the maintenance program, and then it falls apart. And the plan for renewal and replacement lays out, you know, useful life and gives an idea of when we should expect major renewal and replacement to come into the future.
Senator Lincoln, Representative Elton.
Mr. Chairman, when I read this, and I haven't read this completely through, but I did note on page 2 some of the acceptable evidence, I guess, that the department has to look at for the district. And I think that this is wonderful if they can achieve this. But I'm not sure that we're not setting ourselves up to have a more expensive program out there for the communities that, you know, addresses energy management for all buildings owned and operated by the district. A computerized maintenance management system. And I think from what I heard the gentleman talking about for the computerized maintenance program is right on target. But that means we're going to have some kind of outlay of dollars in order to achieve that. And if we're willing to step up to the plate to do these things, then I have no problem with that list. But I just don't think that we can say to some of the districts, it's acceptable only if you show that you have evidence of all of these things in place. They're going to turn around and say, where's the dollars to do this?
My initial blush, Senator Lincoln, was in the same vein, but the more you think about it, there's a real subtlety here. If you include this in statute, you give a real directive to places like Seward Aftech Center and Constitute Tech and different trade schools to let them know what, in fact, we're going to be requiring of their maintenance service people. They're going to have to be skilled in these areas. And what this says to a rural school district or to an Anchorage school district, you're going to be hiring maintenance professionals. They had better be skilled in these areas so they are able to implement these programs, or otherwise you're going to be held accountable for your mishiring. I think that was an important point that we got throughout testimony, was the fact that, and especially what Roger was saying, is that it's not expensive to do these. It just takes people who know what they're doing.
And like I said, I have no problem with that, but it's just to...
I
put on the table that it's going to cost us money, and I think it goes back to what Jeanette has been saying for a long time, too, is that we have to work into the budget a, what do you call it, a life cycle concept. And that goes into number five, that includes renewal and replacement schedules for electrical, mechanical, structural, that they have to show a dollar figure. Now, that's going to cost the state more dollars. No problem with it, as long as we recognize that the initial costs are going to be up, and I hope that that's figured into any plan that we have, that, you know, the initial startup costs for any of these.
Senator Wilkin.
Danny, this is just great stuff. This is the crux of our whole mission, is to put in place something like this. The money is right here. The money to do this is listed on this page, $1.4 billion. Those people that have already done this can use their money however they wish. Those people that haven't done this can use this money to put this in place. So there is no additional money. It'll be part of the effort that comes out of this task force. So this is wonderful, and this absolutely is a key component of our mission. Thanks.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think that in part you're right, Senator Wilkin, that figure that you're looking at is in here, but this is, you have to remember, and again, it's been said before, that this is deferred maintenance. But this is for if there is any construction of a new facility, that these things have to be in place. That's going to increase the cost of the facility. So it's not necessarily that the money is already there. This is only for deferred maintenance that's there.
Actually, Representative Elvin's representing James.
Well, I guess the point that I want to make is, and I may be reading this differently than the Senator is. I mean, I don't have a problem with this. I really don't have a problem with this. But I want to point out that I'm not convinced that this solves the process problem that has gotten us into this huge bank of deferred maintenance in the first place. What this does is it provides that there shall be a plan. But, I mean, in addition to a plan, you need money for preventative maintenance that goes on, so you're not building up a whole new bank of deferred maintenance. This provides for a plan. It does not provide for any money for preventative maintenance. And I think, I just want to use an example. I sat down last week with some people and ran through some numbers. The preventative, the maintenance budget for the state office building in June is 90 cents a square foot. That has to include salaries, materials, and everything else. I don't know how many people have walked through the state office building recently, but I mean, there's significant damage in that building. 90 cents a square foot doesn't do it. Compare the maintenance that we're doing on the new Bank of America building, the budgeted amount for that is over $4 a square foot. And that may be adequate. I just want to make the point that having this bill in front of us is a good idea. And requiring this of districts and, as Denny noted, of departments is a good idea. But having a plan and then not paying for the preventative maintenance doesn't mean anything. I mean, we've got to have a plan, and then we've got to be willing to spend the money that's required in preventative maintenance so that we don't build up a whole new deficit for deferred maintenance.
I appreciate what you're saying, Representative Elton. I guess my point is I think it's amplified by Roger Patch. It doesn't cost a lot of money to implement our preventive maintenance program. And we have many systemic problems within state agencies currently. Hopefully that RIF concept can address some of those. We certainly do fund, to one extent or another, preventive maintenance within all our public facilities. And through the foundation formula, a percentage goes toward preventive maintenance as well, or it's supposed to. Whether it does or doesn't is another issue. But we do, in fact, fund preventive maintenance through the foundation formula. So what this recognizes is, you're right, you can take the horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I mean, this is taking the horse to water, and it's using a pretty big carrot, and ultimately club.
A short response. I mean, you're exactly right. It does. It takes the department. I mean, I think it's incumbent on the legislature to also recognize that the legislature has a role in this, too, and that is that we need to fund the maintenance. We need to review what departments are doing, how they're doing it, and make sure that they stick to a plan. But then the other side of that is that we need to fund what is out there. Now, I'm going to use the figure that DOT gave us. They said they're running in arrears annually, $88 million a year as far as maintenance. Now, I don't know if that's a true figure or not, but I would suggest that it probably is many millions of dollars. It may not be $88 million, but it probably is many millions of dollars. And if we don't take care of, if we have a plan, but we don't take care of that component also, the plan is good. But there's, I mean, this is one of the problems that I have with a rigid sticking to a five-year budget plan. I'm just afraid that we'll end up a plan, but we're not going to end up with money so that they can work.
The only hole in this that I see from my standpoint of the Senate is the fact that we do not establish a plan that goes forever in terms of maintenance, being ongoing maintenance. With a $10 billion plan, which I think we have in this state, in terms of state assets, you know, at 2% renewal replacement, cost, which is generally the maintenance amount that's utilized, that's $200 million a year. We're certainly not doing that. And I would like, we can only bite so much off with this committee. Sometime down the road, as Senator Kelly said, I'll start aiming for perfect. But right now, I'm just trying to get caught up for past sins that others have committed. So, Representative James?
Yeah, I just have to say, I have no sympathy. I'm sorry. But we have schools out there that have been taking their formula fund, and they've been keeping up their maintenance. And quite likely, they're paying for it by the reduction in the cost of energy, because that's where the real benefits come, and the reduction of cost of energy. So I think people should be really excited about being required to have a plan. And I agree that the university calls it redirection. And if you have a facility out here that you have to operate in, you have to have that facility to have your program. Keeping up that facility is more important than the program. Quite frankly, it is. Because where else are you going to have, if you have to have another building? You have to pay for your fixed assets. You just have to do it. And these people have to do it. Some schools have been doing it. And we're talking about schools, but there is roads. And on roads, you're right, we haven't been funding enough for the ongoing maintenance of the roads, and it's something like they've been spending about $74 million, and they need $92.3 million. So it's not as much as you said they're going behind, but nevertheless, it's a cumulative behind. And the behinder you get, the behinder you get. So in roads, it's different than it is in schools. And also, we're not doing it in public facilities. And the reason is that when there were budget reductions, what they chose to do was not do the maintenance so they could keep some other people on doing programs. We're saying that you're going to have to redirect, and you're going to have to take care of that first. And if they can prove to us that they haven't had sufficient money to do the programs we wish to continue to fund, then of course we'll have to do that. But we can't overall say, well, all of a sudden you're all going to get some more money to do this maintenance, because some of them have been doing it okay. The net result is the cost of energy and other expenses of keeping up these facilities will be reduced when you have a good maintenance program. And that's what Roger Pass was saying. He said, it doesn't cost that much. It's a matter of how you spend your time. The one way is to pay a little bit for maintenance, and the other way is to pay a lot. And if don't do it, then it builds and it gets bigger and it becomes a big, big process. So I'm real supportive of this. I'm not going to say I like every language that's in there, but I'm certainly willing to work on it. I'm not looking at something perfect today to get on, like Senator Kelly said. I'm looking for something that's a starting gate, and this will go through the process, and we'll chew on these words and chew out we'll also chew on what is called the fiscal note. And that will be interesting to see the fiscal note. And until we have the fiscal note in front of us, we really don't have anything to argue about.
I'm certain, Mr. Pichot will make certain that fiscal note is quite meager and try to keep it in line. Denny, why don't we try and grind our way through the rest of this legislation so we can wrap up here and then reconvene again tomorrow.
The next piece of legislation to look at is titled An Act Relating to Operating Appropriations for Annual Maintenance, Repair, and Periodic Renewal and Replacement of Public Buildings. It's LS 1219/A. What that does is really brings to a head the issue that Representative Carlton is talking about. This would alter the Executive Budget Act to require that funding for maintenance basically would be a separate line item appropriation. That brings the discussion to a head. And to the extent that a program budget is, as it's currently funded, divided up into maintenance and program, then the program manager would have to accommodate to that. If the choice was to increase the budget to whatever maintenance level is determined, that would be a different option. But what this does is it brings the issue of maintenance to a separate line item, so that if the legislature makes a determination that maintenance will be funded and program reduced, you don't have the authority within the program manager's discretion to move money out of the line items that we traditionally use for maintenance into personnel or other activities.
Let me apologize to everybody. My name shows up on this thing. It was purely done by a legal drafter. You notice most of them were drafted by Tim. This was drafted by George Udermore. I apologize. The intention is that for all legislation that will be introduced by the task force, being done through rules by request of the task force, will not have any of our names on it to try and keep personalities out of it. So let me apologize. It was an error.
Sorry, Mr. Coach, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, sure.
Well, if I noticed it, I was
going to
put my name.
Is there a downside to asking anybody that accepts this money or spends this money to report the expenditure of that proposal to the Legislative Budget Audit Committee every year? I don't want to just fall into the old crap again. I mean,
well, Senator,
sit there and transfer this money back and forth. And, you know, I'd like to have a pretty strong accounting.
This would be this would call for a separate appropriation. It would not be a component within an appropriation.
Okay, how do they then account for the spending of that separate appropriation?
It would be audited on the annual audit, and to the extent that items were posted to this that were not maintenance related, there would be an audit exception. The legislative auditor does an annual audit.
Of everybody?
Yeah. We have a state audit. Randy's not with us. Yes, the legislative auditor does an annual audit, and we'll focus on different areas more heavily. But yes, our books are audited.
I'd like you to look at some provision south, that strengthens that requirement for a annual audit. I want folks to know if they're going to use this money, then they're going to be audited on an annual basis. I guess we could, now you can't turn the drone to jail, can you?
We don't
have I want them to pay a little more attention to how they spend this money in the future than they have with that. And this is good, but I'd like one more tooth in this, I think. Actually, I'd like a big tax fund. But I'll settle for the tooth. Big tooth. Big tooth.
Fang?
Fang, that's better.
I think it may be easier to do with departments than with school districts. It seems to me that if you deal with school districts, you have a question of local control. I mean, I'm not saying it shouldn't be done, but you have a question of local control and how we fund the districts.
Yeah, let me explain about local control. I've always opposed local control of curriculum. But I'll be darned if some of the things I've seen haven't allowed to continue around the state with local control. They're not taking care of some of the school districts are not properly taking care of their buildings. And I don't believe that we should be giving them money for that if they're not going to properly do that. Others have. So my point is, if they want the money to keep maintaining the schools, then they're going to have to spend the money on maintaining those schools. And if they don't have the confidence of doing that, they don't get the money. Bring in another crowd of people that can.
Senator Wilkin maybe should be taking notes, because I think that would have to be accomplished through formula. Some kind of, those kind of controls would have to be accomplished through a change of formula.
There's no doubt what you're saying is accurate in terms of being an unfunded mandate. This is actually a funded mandate. But it's a requirement, and it's done for, I think, public purpose. It's provided the fact that they're going to come back and ask us for funds. Okay, Denny, next bill?
Next bill would be an act authorizing an advisory vote on the issuance of revenue bonds for certain capital projects. It's LF-1218/A. This would create an advisory vote asking the voters whether or not the legislature should proceed with authorizing revenue bonds to be issued for construction, renovation, repair, and replacement of school, university, and other public facilities, and establish a capital bond redemption fund, which again we can use whatever terminology you determine, with the assets that may be pledged as security for the bonds and used for payment of principal, interest, and other expenses associated with the bond. Basically, asking whether or not on an advisory basis the people support moving to that kind of a program and bonding for the money.
And once again, now we don't have to do this,
nope.
But I don't think that the task force feels comfortable in what might be perceived as in running the general obligation bonding route without the support of the public. And I think that's why this advisory vote, we're looking at this advisory vote. We don't want to go forward with the revenue bond proposal unless the public also supports it. So this is in lieu of, this is making the decision, if you need this advisory vote, you decided to go the corporate revenue bond route. If you decide to go the general obligation route, where everything gets placed in front of the public by exact project, then this advisory vote is not needed, but it's kind of one direction or the other. I would not be comfortable doing a revenue bond concept and a corporate concept without the going to the public.
Representative, I agree with the senator. I think the one thing that is not in this proposal is we don't outline a funding source for the paying off revenue bonds. I mean, that may have been a discussion that some have had, but it just seems to me that if you're going to do this, being specific as to a funding source may alleviate some concern. People think, well, maybe they're going to pay off the revenue bond with proceeds from the permanent fund, the Army Reserve permanent fund.
That's actually a good point.
Jenny, do you want to address that?
Yes, you're absolutely right. Right now, that ball is clearly up in the air. And until we, until the task force makes a decision on whether you're going to try this approach, whether you're just going to go straight interest from the CVR, or if, in fact, you decide, which would somewhat surprise me, to use the earnings reserve, I mean, that's... Once that decision's made, we can put that in here. But for purposes of trying to get a draft before you, we're somewhat up in the air. And I also would like to note to the task force that Ledge Legal really did yeoman's work in terms of getting these drafts for us. They really did crank out an awful lot of work for us on a very short notice, and it should not go unappreciated or unrecognized.
Yeah, and Jenny, let me say the same thing to you, too. I mean, you've really done a lot of real good work for this community at the expense of your family and everything else, and we appreciate the job you've done so far. So don't let it down to an the real concept behind this, we established this corporation allowed to do these things. They're public supporters. They like the idea. Well, then future legislatures are free to look for other funding sources to put into the principal of the building fund. Okay, so certainly, I'm not proposing that we do this, but somebody in the future might propose that we increase a particular tax, say a highway gasoline tax, to go into this building fund to provide for more money spent on roads. Fine. You have the vehicle established there to do that. Somebody might propose that you raise the alcohol tax. None of these things are going to occur in the next session, but who knows in the future what funds might be looked at as potential builders of this, of the capital, of the principal, if you will, of this public facility fund. So, I like the idea of establishing. That's why I'm leaning towards this concept, the corporate concept, rather than GeoBot. Because it gives you, I think, the ability to a lot more flexibility down the road where you can build this fund with public support. That's kind of where that's the direction I'm going. But there's a lot of options out there in the future for a lot of revenue streams if the public supports this type of approach. And I think if we do our work well and package it properly, I think they will.
Sir, I just wanted to agree with Representative Elton, and even to the point where this says something to the effect that the funding source will be, but the cost of issuing these funds to an individual citizen of Alaska will be, and put something like that, bring it right to their wallet. I don't know if you can do that or not, but we need to talk a little bit about how we're going to fund it so that we don't leave those ends unpacked.
We do that in municipalities of Anchorage. It says the cost to the average homeowner will be X amount per year, per month, or something like that. It's a little bit harder to identify it. I mean, how that cost is in this case because of what's being funded.
The cost to the average taxpayer would be zero. You got to like that.
That's right. I didn't know what to say. Mr. Chairman, I just have another comment. On Denny, on the language, as you know, what I told you last time, my preference was to extend the period out from 5 years, and I appreciate the movement to 6 years. I actually think we probably ought to go another year in leveling out the spread of these projects. But when you say on the advisory vote that not to exceed $1.5 billion, but then we identify it over a six-year period, could we not say for a period not less than 6 years for an amount not to exceed $1.5 billion? That gives us a little bit of flexibility. Of course, we know this is subject to change in the committee process. We may identify what the right time period will be later, but at least for what's coming from this committee, that may give us a little bit more flexibility. I think the plan doesn't work with all of our constraints at less than six, but it clearly works at more than six, and there may be some advantages to doing that.
To the Chair, Senator, that's the decision that the task force needs to make. what I tried to do was provide you as close to the target that you identified in the time frame that was identified with conservative figures. From there, you have all kinds of flexibility as to how you want to handle it. And it's just a matter of cranking up more spreadsheets to the change.
Senator Kelly, one other request, if you could have this information before tomorrow's meeting. There are a couple of municipalities, I think at least, that have on their own dime since the 70-30 reimbursement program fell out, have gone forward to fund or bond for school repair and renovation and new construction. I'd like to get the names of those communities and how much they're on the hook for without any state redemption, because I'm frankly going to support a 70-30 reimbursement program, either cash or bond or debt service. And I think those communities have gone out on their own since the end of the program and have built or majorly renovated new schools should be reimbursed on a retroactive basis. So that, you know, I mean, I think it's unfair if somebody stood out and said, okay, you know, we need things so bad that we'll go do them ourselves. I think it's unfair for somebody who wouldn't take that kind of a debt on or responsibility on to, you know, get 70% of the pay without. So could you give us a rundown of what's out there that doesn't fall, that has been up since the end of the program that school districts have not been reimbursed for?
Can I have a moment to counsel with my educational advisor?
Sure.
Can we do that?
I think you're
yes,
only,
Senator, I think we can help you with that.
Other schools that I know of as we've gone around have been Anchorage, Mat-Su, and Ketchikan now. No, Ketchikan's passed.
All I knew was Anchorage and Mat-Su.
Well, Mat-Su is only pending.
They haven't spent any money.
Let me rephrase the question, make sure I understand it. What I understood the Senator to want was folks who had either spent the money or had initiative bond issues that passed.
Pending. Yeah, let's have two categories. Money that has been spent that should be reimbursed retroactively, and then pending stuff that has already passed the voters. I guess we're going to limit it to money that has been spent by a vote of the public on educational facilities that was not included in the 70-30 program. And I guess the vote of the public is important. And then projects that are pending, refunding of a reimbursement.
It's a pretty short list.
Yeah.
I think it is. Item E, I will have two proposals for the that are in drafting now. One would create a dedicated fund for marine fuel taxes. The other would create a dedicated fund for highway fuel taxes. If I might finish. There has been considerable discussion as we moved around the state that folks would consider those kinds of taxes if there were a dedicated fund. The proposals that I'm having drafted for your consideration, which may be positive or maybe negative, would simply create the vehicle. It would not institute a tax. But since that kind of a thing has to go to the voters, I thought you might want to at least look at that to decide what you want to do.
Representative James.
And on that point, last time when we met, indicated that I'm working on something with a dedicated fund, and that regardless as to what this task force comes up with, and I'll support the task force decision, I will be filing my own transportation maintenance tax proposal with a dedicated fund.
Now, let me say for the record that I've never supported the dedicated fund in the state of Alaska, and I doubt if I'll be supporting this, but, and I don't even really want to see it on the table if it's for that. However, if that would want to consider it, I'm not going to stand in its way, but I have some serious philosophical differences on the dedicated fund.
We were aware of that and appreciated it, and
and you
people.
Keep bringing that up.
I know.
Right of that.
No, I keep trying, sir, but I keep getting beat up by six other directions.
Co-chair.
Something like that.
Very astute.
Other members. Item F, I don't have any legislative proposal at this juncture. I've not been able to cobble anything together. But the task force did talk of requiring the use of prototypical models for schools. Senator Wilkin and I have had conversations again today, and if it's the pleasure of the task force, we could proceed to try and have something drafted in that area. So what we need to have on the first group, we can have somewhat of a flavor from the from the task force tomorrow as to whether they make sense and you want to proceed. On item F, we need to, I think, get a sense of whether or not that's an area you want us to proceed in, and Senator Wilk and I will have to continue to work on that. So I'm looking for instruction.
Right. That's an issue that could either be done statutorily or through resolution. Yes, Senator Lincoln?
If you do proceed with that, I would caution that the model, that, and I appreciate that it is plural, that you have a rural model, a bush model, and an urban model, that it not just be a one-size-fit-all.
Welcome.
I would hope that out of this is an effort that sets forth a prototypical schools that fall into different categories.
That's right.
And, that is the level at which the state funds schools, and if the locale wants more, they pay more. But we would certainly recognize that there are needs north of the Alaska Range. There's needs in South Central Alaska, and there's needs in Southeast Alaska. And those are broad categories of the types of schools. And you would have a school, and the only thing that would be different in those, in each of the three locales, would be the foundation. So, but that's very broad. And we have people in Fairbanks that would like very much to work on this project. So if asked, we will.
There's other things that are different. The utilities make difference, but the big difference would be the funding.
Well, I do hope, I mean, if you're having outsiders working on it, Fairbanks is working on it, that you also have those other two elements of the Bush input into that process, as well as the rural.
Yeah,
and not
absolutely. People recognize the distinctions of sort of like that.
Snow and wind loads are seismic loads.
Flat roof versus peaked roof.
Well, I was thinking of Senator Jock when I said snow and wind loads.
Anyway, I don't think we're going to make it all the way through this list. And there is just, before we came here, we were having discussion about, well, what are we going to do this whole time? We certainly are going to need 3 days. However,
we certainly
sparked a fair amount of discussion, so there is a distinct possibility of Friday maybe on yet, but we will reconvene again tomorrow at 1:30. I appreciate people staying around till 5 o'clock today, and we will try and grind through in more detail tomorrow. We'll start where we've left off, and then go back at the beginning and kind of grind through in more detail each of the issues.
Okay. I just want to say that this is a marvelous accomplishment. I'm impressed.
Very good.
I'm very
impressed. Are there any caucuses we have to deal with tomorrow?
Caucus? No, I don't know if any of
we could form another one.
Otherwise, is there anything else that's come before the committee at this time? If not, we're adjourned until tomorrow at 1:30.
If you want to leave some of your things in the room, we'll be here tomorrow, and we'll make sure that we get
pretty well.